the second case of the day, Ballard v. Chicago Park District.
Mr. May it please the Court, Nelson Brown for the Chicago Park District. Your Honor, the Chicago Park District is before this Court today on an interlocutory appeal seeking this Court's statutory interpretation of a section of the Family Medical and Leave Act. In particular, the Park District asked this Court to review the question that has been established by the District Court, answer in the negative. It's the Park District's position that FMLA, when you're dealing with to care for, any leave has to be associated with some level of treatment as defined in the regulations for the ailing relative.
Given the finding that Ms. Ballard provided daily care, such as insulin shots, removing fluids from her mother's heart, bathing her, pushing her in a wheelchair, if she had requested FMLA time off for a week in January and not informed her employer that the care would be provided out of town, wouldn't she have been entitled to it?
No, well then, in that case,
she wouldn't have been entitled to it?
If the employee did not inform the Park District that the purpose of the trip, the purpose of the leave was to accompany her ailing mother to Las Vegas, but merely she said she had to take it off for some just unexplained reason, I don't think that would be proper.
So you're saying she wouldn't have been entitled to stay at home and do all those things?
Oh no, I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question. If the purpose was to stay at home, that would be fine because it's associated with her home care.
Okay, so if the care is sufficient to get FMLA leave at home, why isn't that same care sufficient if it takes place in another town?
Well, Your Honor, I think that gets to the fundamental issue that is raised by the district court's decision. I would put it this way. The district court's decision says it is not to sort of paraphrase the real estate adage, location, location, location of the care is not important. The Park District's position and the position that other circuits have taken is that you have to look to the purpose for which the leave is being taken. In other words, there has to be some nexus.
Well, the plaintiff says the purpose is to continue providing her mother the care she's been providing all along. What in the statute makes anything turn on where the care is provided?
Your Honor, I think I would direct the Court's attention to the Code of Federal Regulations.
Could you answer my question?
Yes.
My question said, what in the statute makes anything turn on the place where the care is being provided?
Because the purpose of the care has to be related to treatment.
Point to some language in the statute.
I don't have the statute in front of me. I have the regulations in effect at the time.
I asked about the statute. I've looked at the statute. I don't find anything in the statute that makes geography matter. Now, maybe I'm misunderstanding it in some way, but this case is about the statute, and you need to be able to answer a question about the statute.
Your Honor, I cannot point specifically to the statute. Again, I direct the Court's attention to the regulation, which says it has to be associated that leave can be taken for to support continuing treatment by a health care provider.
Wouldn't a focus on the purpose of the trip really lead to absurd results, such as allowing FLMA leave for a parent to care for a terminally ill child at home, but excluding the one-week family vacation taken during that leave time because the vacation isn't taken for the purpose of providing care? I mean, if a mother takes her newborn to see relatives in another state shortly after the child is born, does she lose her entitlement to FMLA leave because the purpose is not to care for the newborn or promote bonding with the mother? I'm not getting it at all.
Well, first of all, I would say that the other circuits that have looked at this question have said that a trip has to be associated with treatment. There's a specific case dealing with the where a mother did simply take her child to visit the grandparents and claimed FMLA leave.
Because are you talking about that Philippine case?
No, I'm talking about another case where the court, this was an Idaho case. No, excuse me, this was a...
Are you talking about Grudillo, that Ninth Circuit case?
No, I'm not talking about that one in particular. I'm talking about another case, but the Grudilla case is clearly the one that I think really gets to the core of
which
the issue.
Which case?
Grudilla.
Well, that case, that opinion was withdrawn. The appeal was dismissed.
Well, then I would also direct the court to the First District Court case of Tayag versus Leahy, which was where the...
You mean the First Circuit?
Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. I said First Circuit, where the employee took her husband on a faith pilgrimage to the Philippines.
Yeah, well, no, that's not Tayag. Tayag is heart condition case. But in Tayag, the cardiologist, in response to the medical certification form for FMLE, indicated that the employee's husband was not incapacitated and didn't need any medical care.
The court The court in that case went on to look at the question, well, even if he did have a serious health condition as defined by the Act, it was still not related to a medical purpose. Here's the situation that employers face. If location, location, location makes no difference, then any request for FMLA leave would have to be approved because there's no connection to medical care. The purpose of the Family Medical Leave Act is not to expand the potential situations where employees can get leave.
We don't start with the purpose of statutes or with litigants' beliefs about the purpose of statutes. We start with the language of statutes. And the statute says that an employee is entitled to time off to care for a parent. Now, one would think, just an ordinary reading of that language, that the factual question would be whether the employee is, in fact, caring for the parent. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with where the parent is located physically. It has to do with whether the employee is providing care.
Your Honor, I would submit that when you look at the statute as a whole and the regulations, it has to be associated with treatment.
All right. What part of the statute as a whole? Presumably you want me to look at some additional part of the statute. What additional part of the statute should I look at?
Your Honor, I don't have the statute in front of me.
This is the core question in the case. You can't evade the question.
I'm not evading the question, Your Honor. If the court looks at the regulations that interpret the statute that were in effect at
the time. We interpret the statute, counsel.
I understand.
That's our job.
I understand
the statute. And if you're not willing to talk about the statute, this is your time to talk about the statute.
Your Honor, I submit that when you look at, I don't have the specific statute section in front of me. It talks about to care for, and it talks about providing treatment for people.
Exactly. And therefore, what difference does it make what the physical location of the parent is? If the employee is taking the time to provide care or treatment for the parent, why, under the statute, does it matter where the parent is located?
Because I respectfully submit that the language of the statute as a whole and through the regulations and through the...
But you can't cite me even one word of the statute.
I do not have the statute in front of me.
Mr. Brown, is your concern of the potential fraud for employers? Is that what drives it?
It's not just fraud, Your Honor. It's basically expanding in a way that...
All right, so let's then try to contract it. What if this case was looked at through the narrow prism of a hospice situation where medical determination is made that we have an end of life, not a multi-month, multi-year perspective.
Okay.
And care does obviously involve the physical and psychological aspect. If we look at it through that prism, that it's limited, it's a hospice situation, you know, would that not, as we have in this case, frame this case in a way that would alleviate the kinds of concerns you're offering to the court?
No, Your Honor, because as I read the statute, there is no distinction between identifying end-of-life issues as somehow requiring any kind of special treatment. I mean, if someone wants
well,
to...
Well, the very fact that hospice exists is in effect special, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, but not all things hospice provides or suggests necessarily come under the rubric of treatment as defined by the statute and by the regulations interpreting that statute. For example, if an ailing relative wanted to go visit her grandkids somewhere, but the person was not terminal, under the interpretation of the district court, we have no basis to challenge that. They could take 5 weeks off to go, or whatever time they have available under FMLA, to go somewhere for warm memories, to visit their grandparents, to visit grandchildren, to do anything. Even if there's no medical care provided, even if it isn't associated with medical care. It's so basically there's no basis to separate out the end-of-life situations from someone going for warm memories for other reasons. They're just, I mean, this is a case where the sympathetic facts, I think, lead to an improper statutory interpretation. And I believe that, and the plaintiff in particular has not cited, whether it be dicta or otherwise, has not cited to any case that has held to the position that somehow the leave has to be associated with some type of treatment. In this case, she was receiving hospice care at home. She was taken to a place away from home. Ms. Ballard herself had to be given special instructions on how to take care of her mother because her mother apparently was in a stable situation at home. The Park District would submit that is not really related to treatment. I would submit that purpose of the trip has to be considered in evaluating. And I apologize for not having the specific statute in front of me. I think if the court looks at that and the case law that has been developed in other circuits and some district courts, what the Park District is arguing is correct. It has to be associated with medical care or treatment. And treatment is defined. There is nothing in the treatment section, certainly of the regulations, that talks about psychological benefit or end-of-life issues.
Where is this word treatment coming from?
Well, here's
Section
what
the... Section 2612A1C says that leave has to be given to an employee, quote, in order to care for the parent of the employee.
Okay.
There isn't any separate requirement of treatment.
I would direct the court's attention to 29 CFR 825.113, which talks about what constitutes treatment, and it is something the Park District should be able to rely on.
Treatment is not the word in the statute. The word in the statute is care.
We submit that the whether you call
there's
it
a separate provision, that's 2619B2, which deals with last minute and intermittent absences, which deals with treatment. Subsection B is not the one involved in this case. So a definition of treatment relevant to a different subsection of the statute,
Your Honor, this
what bearing would it have?
This case does involve intermittent leave because Ms. Ballard was... There is nothing in the record to indicate that Ms.
I don't think you understand what intermittent leave is for purposes of this statute. That's a defined term.
Well, intermittent leave means that the person is under certain circumstances needs to take time off on some kind of a basis. It means not a designated block of time like 1 month or 1 week. And in this case, Ms. Ballard did have permission, did have intermittent leave.
What part of the statute are you relying on for the proposition that this leave should be classified as intermittent for the purpose of subsection B?
Again, Your Honor, I don't have the specific section of the statute in front of me.
But this is about a statute. It's a defined term. You can't just wing it or intuit. We really need to discuss language.
Again, it's my... I approached, the Park District approached this in a way that we looked at the statute, we looked at the regulations, because they give us guidance on what we should do. Ms. Ballard had intermittent leave. Ms. Ballard's mother was in a safe, secure position without a necessary leave before this trip. The only reason she had the leave was to take a trip unrelated to any kind of medical treatment.
Well, Mr. Brown, you know, you speak of the regulations, and the regulations speak about encompassing both physical and psychological care. You acknowledge that, I guess.
Yes, Your Honor, but if you read specifically, again, when the regulations started to interpret that, and again, I think the Park District should be able to look to the regulations when trying to evaluate the situation. It says psychological care in the context of inpatient or home care. It doesn't say anywhere, anytime, any place, for any reason. And if the court accepts the lower court's position that location does not matter, then a FMLA leave is proper for anyone, for any time,
well,
for any reason.
That's why I tried to refocus it, perhaps, in you know, there is, the regs are what they are, but on an end-of-life situation, which would not present the same challenges for an employer interpreting it.
I'm sorry, what, Your Honor?
That's why I'm trying to focus, if you would, a little bit on whether or not in a hospice situation, a legitimate end-of-life situation, we might not have a not the kinds of concern for an employer that you raise, or the specter that you raise of open-ended problems for an employer under the district court's interpretation.
But Your Honor, I again, in terms of the language of the statute as I read it, and I don't have it in front of me, and the language of the regulations, it talks, there is no distinction made between, we should give special consideration to end-of-life concerns. I would remind the court in Gradilla that the employee's wife had a heart condition and was not able, and it was to go to a funeral. Frankly, that is more emotionally compelling than a trip to Las Vegas.
Could I just tell you again that opinion was withdrawn and the appeal was dismissed? That case doesn't exist.
Well, I understand it wouldn't have been controlling for this body, even if it were. But I would submit, if you look at Marshak and Tayag and Gradilla and the other cases that have come, every case that has come out, with the exception of the district court, has looked to the question of it has to be associated with medical care. We're not making – this is something that, whether it was withdrawn or not, the counsel plaintiff has not cited a single case, which, except for the district court case, which says location does not matter.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. Ryan?
May it please the court. Good morning. Paul Ryan for the appellee, Beverly Ballard. The first place that you have to look to determine whether this trip to Las Vegas was protected under the FMLA is the statute itself.
It's not a question whether the trip is protected under the FMLA. It's a question whether the FMLA entitles your client to leave. The FMLA doesn't apply to trips, and it doesn't protect parents. It protects employees, or not.
In order to make that determination, the first place that you have to look...
I ask you to speak just a little more loudly.
Certainly.
Thank you.
In order to answer that question, you have to look at the statute. You have to look at what the statute says. And there's nothing in the statute that restricts a caregiver's leave of absence
It became apparent during oral argument that the Park District's position and its emphasis on treatment depended on its belief that your client had requested intermittent leave within the scope of subsection B rather than the scope of subsection A. Do you have any response on that point?
Well, Judge, Ms. Ballard did have a certification from a doctor which provided for FMLA.
I'm asking about the meaning of the statute, not whether she had a certification from a physician.
Judge, I'm not familiar. I did not look at that portion of the statute because it was not raised in the Park District's argument. I can say that Ms. Ballard gave notice to her employer 30 days beforehand.
Go ahead with the argument. It's obvious that neither side is prepared to discuss the actual language of the statute.
Let me ask you this. When psychological comfort and reassurance is the care being provided, is there any requirement to obtain a psychological certification similar to the medical certification to attest that such care is indeed required?
No, there is no such requirement. And in fact, Ms. Ballard's certification did note that psychological comfort and care is a type of care that she can provide to her mother. So even if there was that requirement, it was satisfied in this case. Again, the statute makes no distinction between care occurring in the state of Illinois in this case versus care occurring in Las Vegas. Furthermore, the regulations are very clear that an ailing relative can be considered to have a serious health condition even if they are not receiving active care by a health care provider. As long as they are under the continuing supervision of a physician, they can fall within the definition of someone who has a serious health condition. And therefore, it follows that a caregiver can take a leave of absence to care for someone with a serious health condition, even though they are not receiving active medical treatment.
I believe I know the answer to this question, but this is unpaid leave, isn't it?
Absolutely, Judge. And that's important in addressing the Park District's public policy arguments, because as a practical matter, although the Park District has argued that allowing this kind of leave of absence will open the floodgates to frivolous requests for leave or just more requests for leave, the fact of the matter is most employees cannot afford to take a 3-month leave of absence that's unpaid. So that provides a strong disincentive to taking a leave of absence unless it's truly something that's legitimate. And in this case, there is no question that the Fairy Godmother Foundation trip to Las Vegas, a trip that was provided by a charitable organization similar to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, was legitimate. And in fact, this trip was for Sarah Ballard, not for Beverly Ballard. And that addresses the Park District's concern that there will be some kind of fraud by employees to try to take a vacation by bringing their seriously ill relatives with them. That concern simply does not apply in this case. To the extent that other courts have found that there is a geographical restriction on care, we respectfully disagree with those courts because they have read something into the statute that simply is not there, and it's not in the regulations either. So the district court was correct in determining that the focus of the inquiry here should be, first of all, does the relative have a serious health condition, and second of all, is the employee's leave of absence for the purpose of caring for that relative? And both of those requirements are satisfied here. To the extent that the Park District is arguing that there is some kind of requirement that any FMLA leave of absence serves some kind of medical purpose, that is in conflict with the regulations because there are a variety of caregiving activities that do not involve direct participation in medical care. For instance, a caregiver can prepare healthy meals for a relative or help bathe or take the relative to the bathroom or do the relative's laundry. None of those things involve direct participation in medical care, and yet they all should clearly be protected as caregiving activities under the law. If this court determines, however, that there is a requirement that a leave of absence by a caregiver involves some kind of direct participation in a relative's medical care. In this situation, it's clear that the trip that was arranged to Las Vegas did serve a hospice and palliative function. There's no dispute that Horizon Hospice and palliative care is the organization that informed Beverly and her mother of the existence of the Fairy Godmother Foundation. The social worker from Horizon Hospice helped fill out the application to the Fairy Godmother Foundation. She submitted it to the Fairy Godmother Foundation on Sarah Ballard's behalf. And when the Fairy Godmother Foundation granted the trip to Las Vegas, notice was given to Horizon Hospice, and Horizon Hospice then communicated that notice to Beverly and her mother. And so it's very clear that this trip was arranged in connection with Ms. Ballard's ongoing hospice and palliative care. And in fact, the social worker from Horizon Hospice, the social work coordinator, noted that as part of Horizon Hospice's plan of care and providing hospice services to terminally ill patients, its medical and psychosocial team strives to help patients identify and meet end-of-life goals. It's the case that palliative care involves more than just physical care by a doctor. It also addresses emotional, social, and psychological needs. And in light of that, the trip to Las Vegas by the Fairy Godmother Foundation satisfied all those requirements. Accordingly, Judge, for all those reasons, we'd ask that the district court's judgment be affirmed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown, your time had expired, but you may have an additional minute.
The Park District asserts that when the statute and the regulations and the intent of Congress as represented in the Senate report are examined, that what is critical for FMLA leave and in the context of this case is that it somehow be associated with medical treatment, with medical care. To say that location does not matter basically opens it up for any reason, any purpose, at any time. That is not the intent. The regulations which the Park District relied upon speak about treatment. It speaks about treatment in terms of medical care. There is nothing that separates out the emotional aspects of end-of-life care from other trips that can involve emotional concerns, to visit an ailing relative visiting an ailing grandchild. The FMLA was not intended to expand the nature of leave that is available to employees. It was set for a specific purpose to deal with care, medical care, to deal with leave associated with treatment. The fact that psychological care can be provided.
Argument that the leave must be associated with treatment appears to rest on a belief that this is intermittent leave.
It is intermittent.
Did your time give you the opportunity to look up the definition of intermittent leave?
No, Your Honor, but the...
Why do you believe that this leave is properly classified as intermittent?
Because if the court looks at the record as a whole, and I don't have it in front of me...
Don't look at the record to determine the meaning of legal terms.
She requested...
statutes and maybe regulations. Which statute or regulation do you believe requires us to treat this as intermittent leave?
Well, I can say at this point, Your Honor, she applied for intermittent leave.
As I say, it's not the record that classifies leave as intermittent. It's the law.
Well, I believe
that's why I'm hoping that you can give me a citation to something legal.
Your Honor, the issue of intermittent leave was not addressed by the plaintiff in their response. I've looked at the record. She sought intermittent leave earlier in the year. Before the trip, because her mother was in a continuing care situation, not something like a broken bone that had a specific time frame. She was in a continuing care situation. She was in a safe, comfortable position. The only reason leave had to be taken was for this trip, which was unrelated to any kind of treatment. Just because hospice provides a variety of services does not mean that everything hospice provides falls under the meaning of to care for or treatment. The Park District submits that it is purpose of the trip that needs to be looked at, and that's related to medical care, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Thank you, Mr. Ryan. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed to